We want you to piss in a flask. We're going to sell your piss. Hi, and welcome to Is It Dad Rock Yet? I'm Martin, and with me, as always, is Steve.
Hello.
And we'll kick straight off, Stevie P. What have you been listening to?
So the last thing I listened to was a band called Blanket. They're from the northwest of England. So I'm assuming Blackpool, they just don't want to say. And yeah, pretty cool. The reason I was listening to them was they came on Shuffle the other day, and I was like, holy shit, this sounds like Deftones. Like, really, it sounded really cool, but I knew it wasn't Deftones. I was like, oh shit, this is Blanket. And then tonight I thought, oh, I'll just give one of the new tracks a try called Ceremonia, and it was really good. So I'm going to give them a bit more of a listen tomorrow as well. What have you been listening to, Martin?
Two things, really, actually. So one thing is I listened to the new Fresh song, which I think is called, like...
Merch Girl.
Merch Girl, that's the one. And that's really good, really, really good. And then I just nipped at the shop to get some milk, and the Electric Callboy, We Got the Moves, came on my most recently, my most played or something. So that always keeps coming on rotation. So I'm not a massive fan of Electric Callboy, but they've got some pretty cool songs. Spoken about that before, haven't we, where it's just like a perpetual list of, like, it always plays the same songs because it's always playing like your top songs, and it just like constantly plays the same songs over and over again. So yeah, it's a bit of a, what's the word, sort of self-fulfilling thing. It's like, yeah, it's most played, so you play it, and then they become your most played because you play that playlist. It's just weird. But yeah, any news, Stevie P, to of note?
Not much, to be honest, in terms of the music world, but in terms of inflation, vinyl records have been added to the calculation for inflation, and it's due to the popularity of vinyl records, which is pretty cool. Last year, 5.9 million units were, I don't know if it's, I guess, sold, and that's the highest amount of sales since 1990, which, pretty crazy. But it's mainly due to Taylor Swift's re-release of 1989.
Right.
So that has boosted the number of vinyl record sales. And to be honest, I think we could all pretty much say that, yeah, vinyl is very, very popular again. Every other page on Instagram is like some guy with his record collection, or some girl with her record collection. And yeah, even I've got some vinyl records. I'm not like a massive, massive fan. I know you've also got some vinyl records, and it's like, that's not something I would have had 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the other thing for inflation, didn't someone use like Freddo's or something? Because Freddo's used to be 5p and now they're £1 million. So it's like, that's too expensive now.
Yeah, that's a thing that's... it's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But things that have actually been added for inflation are air fryers, spray oil, USB sticks, which I thought was fucking weird. Who's buying USB sticks? And SD cards. So again, who the fuck is buying SD cards? But things that have been removed from the calculation, hand sanitizer, because nobody buys hand sanitizer anymore. COVID's gone. Popcorn, because no one goes to the cinema anymore. They all just watch Disney Plus at home on Netflix. And sofa beds have been removed as well, which, okay, fair enough, whatever. I guess less and less people are buying sofa beds. But then the last thing that's been removed, right, I've got written down, is the combined SD card and USB stick, whatever that is. But obviously they've been split now, and that is why they've been added to this year's ONS.
I wonder if SD cards are like Ring doorbells, home security things. They all use sort of SD store cards, SD storage. Steam Decks do, so like computers, your tablets, drones use SD cards as well. So it's like there probably is a massive market for in the technology world for it. USB sticks, I mean, fuck me. I haven't seen a USB stick for 10 years, so...
No, yeah, I can't even remember the last time I had one. But yeah, SD cards, like... yeah, there's some good points there. But I don't think... Like, a lot of stuff nowadays just connects to Wi-Fi and uploads to the cloud.
True, yeah. Yeah, well, look at us getting political, talking about inflation. You heard it here first.
Well, I guess to move it back to a bit about music, so last week we spoke about nu metal. Why was it deemed NU metal rather than NEW metal? And I think I figured it out after reading an article about a new indie band. It's because when you write new metal band, it looks confusing. NEW metal, new metal. If you write in a magazine, it's probably better to put a new NU metal band to be a new metal band. So there you go. It's a thought for today. And then the last thing we spoke about, not the last thing, another thing we spoke about last week was nostalgia. And why are people so hyped on listening to bands play their old records? So I did a bit of research, and it turns out nostalgia has been around for a long, long time. But in terms of music, like, it isn't anything new. Like, people have always wanted to hear like bands and artists playing their biggest hits from like years ago. Like, people wanting to hear Elvis Presley play his biggest hits, people wanting to hear Metallica play their biggest hits, and like, I guess the main thing now is that people find it easier to connect. So like, back in the 90s and early 2000s, would it have been easy to connect with like some people in North America, for example, or South America about a band that you like? Probably not. Chances are, like, you and a couple of friends were into the same stuff. There wasn't this like big community that is around now, these big, huge online communities with like thousands and millions of people on pages. But you can just easily connect with bands. And I guess it's that whole thing of being like, the voice is bigger now, so that, you know, people are saying, oh shit, that was really cool, I really love that album, I'd love to hear the band play that live. One person says that, like, you know, it's super easy for like another 1,000 people to say the same thing through comments and shit like that. So I think that's what it is. It's just people are easily able to communicate and, you know, get more of a following, a backing, a support for their opinion.
Yeah, as well, I suppose like the bands like in the sort of 80s, 90s, there weren't that many bands that were big, because obviously to get big, you have to get signed, it's all physical stuff. Whereas nowadays there's a lot more signed smaller scale bands that have got a bigger following online. And so I suppose it's like 100 Reasons, for example. I know we went to go see them, it wasn't quite a reunion one, but they did do like a 10-year anniversary of their album and things like that. And one of the ways of making money as a band is doing a tour and doing shows. And that's an easy way. I'm guessing it's much more enticing to be like, let's just do a reunion tour of our first album. We will sell out the O2 Academy. You know, we will make some money doing this. Whereas, yeah, we are big, massive mega bands. They're already probably quite loaded because they're so big in like the 90s that there's just money in it. So like, you know, Metallica, AC/DC, all that shit. Yeah, be interesting. But yeah, like I say, nostalgia's always been about it. It's just more easily accessible now. And also it's more relevant and we actually pay attention because the nostalgia is our nostalgia rather than our parents' nostalgia.
And that's a really good point about bands just being like, we can make some money here. Let's go on tour. Let's just make like our like Christmas bonus, for example. Like,
we don't even need to write the songs. We've already wrote them.
Yeah. All we need to do is book out a week. We'll get like enough money to, you know, do whatever we want to do. Go on holiday, buy a new car, you know, whatever. Buy kids Christmas presents. It doesn't matter. But it's like that bit of extra cash injection. And everyone nowadays has got a side hustle. Everyone.
Yeah. One day we'll monetize this and get filthy rich.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Thursday, War All The Time from the year 2003. As chosen by Stevie P. I'm not going to ask you why you chose it yet, but I will ask you in a minute. Before we start, Steve, I've got a warm-up quiz. So Thursday have got 269,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, as I'm sure you knew that.
Obviously.
I'm going to read out some bands that are similar slash sort of were popular around the sort of early 2000s mark, so kind of similar time to Thursday. And each time you have to tell me if they're higher or lower regards monthly listeners from the previous band mentioned. So it's not just using Thursday as a base. As we move on, you're comparing it to the previously mentioned band. Just to clear that up, because we've had some confusion in the past when we've done similar kind of games.
Yeah, we did that on the Deftones episode with Maddie, didn't we?
Yeah, it was, yeah. So, yeah, no issues there. So Thursday, as mentioned, I've got 269,000 monthly listeners. So do Saves the Day have more or less monthly listeners? If I brought it out to house, do you think you'd make it out? Or would you burn up before the water filled your lungs? And at your funeral, I will sing the Requiem. Hide on for you, my hair.
Oh, Saves the Day, I'm going to go less.
It's correct, 188,000. You can have a guess at how many you think as well when you go. So, Taking Back Sunday, do they have more or less than Saves the Day? What I got to, unless I had to, I'll do what I got to, the truth. It's too good to slip my throat. And with my one last gasping breath, I'd apologize for bleeding on your shirt.
They've got more than Saves the Day, and for some reason 4 million is sticking in my head. I think the last time I looked it was maybe around that.
Yeah, well, clearly they've lost some listeners, so it's 2.9 million, so still a fucking load. But
yeah.
Under Oath, more or less than Taking Back Sunday?
Less than Taken Back Sunday, but say about 500,000.
1.1 million.
Oh, really? That's awesome for Under Oath.
I mean, I wouldn't fucking, you know, I wouldn't have an issue having them numbers, but Finch, more or less than Under Oath. Where do you run to so far?
Oh, they've got less than Under Oath. I'd say they're like around 100,000.
Finch have got 411,000.
Well, they have just recently done that tour, aren't they? The anniversary tour.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it.
Yeah. I mean, because, yeah, I suppose it's hard to gauge because it's so, it fluctuates between them, like, have they done a tour? Have they released a new single? Are they still active? I mean, I'm guessing they're not releasing new albums anytime soon. So
well, actually,
4,000 is probably pretty decent.
Finch released a new song today on Spotify.
Really?
It just happens to be that thing where it's not the actual band. It's just another artist with the name
right.
Finch.
I know there's like a German rap artist called Finch because Electric Callboy have got a song featuring Finch. And I was like, that's fucking random. And it's a German rapper.
I think it might be the same guy who's released a song today then. Because that's happened before to Finch.
Next one, Coheed and Cambria. More or less than Finch. All I wanted, but you weren't honest. Now get in the ground. You choked off the shore. It's the favor. But if you really love me, you would have endured my will. Well, if you
fucking, I hate that band with a passion. Don't like them. And they've got a big following, though, I think. Like, a very... Well, they've got a cult following, I know that. So I am going to go more than Finch. But I would say... I'd say less than a million.
1.3 million.
Oh, right, really? Yeah. I'm surprised, because don't like them at all.
Well, 1.3 million people do. So there you go. Funeral for a Friend, more or less than Coheed and Cambria.
Less than Coheed and Cambria, but I don't know, 250,000?
Close, 342.
Yeah, not bad.
The Used, more or less than Funeral for a Friend.
I'd say more than Funeral for a Friend. And I'd say closer to a million, but not a million.
2.9 million.
What, really? Fucking hell.
Yeah. I mean, have they released a fucking song today or a tour?
I think I think they're on tour a lot. And they've released a lot of albums. They might have released one recently. The only two I listen to are the self-titled and In Love and Death. The rest are just not for me.
From First to Last.
Less than the Used. And they've probably got about 600,000, right?
422. So still a healthy amount to say they are literally doing nothing, surely.
Well, yeah, they actually released two new songs like probably about 5 years ago. And I remember it was like, they're coming back. And then they never came back because it was because Sonny left. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Sonny left. And then Sonny was like, I'm going to come back. And I think there was a lot of hype. And Travis Barker even played drums on one of the songs. Nobody else can risk fucking with their name. So I'll come out and lay waste to good taste for you, babe. But then, yeah, then nothing happened with it.
And then Sonny went, wait a minute, there's no money in this. I'm going to go back to be Skrillex and make thousands and thousands, if not millions of pounds.
Yeah, probably.
Next one, Thrice.
Thrice. Oh, definitely more than From First to Last. And they've just done another anniversary tour, right? They've just been on tour doing an anniversary of The Artist in the Ambulance, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, yeah, so they have got more. Do you want to take a stab at how many more?
800,000.
980.
Ah, not far off.
Last one, brand new, more or less than Thrice. We saw the Western Coast. I saw the hospital, and that's the shoreline like a wound. We posed a lover's tryst, we're neither clear nor distressed. We kept it safe and slow, the quiet things that no one ever knows.
This is the only one where I'm a bit like, I'm not sure. I'm going to go more than Thrice. I think they've got more than a million listeners, brand new.
Yeah, correct. Brand new, you've got 1.1 million monthly listeners at the minute.
Pretty close to Thrice then.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You did very well, Steve. I think you actually got all of them right. Obviously, I wasn't expecting you to get the numbers right, but you weren't a million miles off for most of them. So yeah, well done.
We've not done anything about monthly listeners for ages.
No, well, I was kind of thinking, like, how can I do a bit of a warm-up? And I always, for some reason, I get Thursday and Taking Back Sunday kind of mixed up. I know they're not, but I just always think of them as being very similar.
Well, they were on the same label and released albums around the same time, so... And huge in the emo scenes, aren't they? So even though they don't sound like each other, they're, like, very similar in sort of, like, a cultural moment, I guess.
Tell me, Steve P, why did you choose this album?
I chose this album because I think I mentioned that I was listening to Thursday like two or three times in a row when we'd recorded some episodes. And in the brand new episode, you said that they had to rewrite this album. And I was like, I don't think that's true. And I wanted to read about it. And I thought, if I'm going to read about it, might as well do an episode on it. And then I was listening to Thursday and I thought, you know what? This is an absolute awesome album. I've loved this album since it was released in 2003. And yeah, I just thought, fuck it. I want to do it. It's a great album. It's going to be a good episode, hopefully.
Well, you haven't heard the questions yet. They're fucking terrible. No, the best questions that ever made. I must admit, I've never, ever bothered with Thursday, really. I've heard like the odd single, you know, the odd sort of song or whatever. But I've listened to this album a couple of times and it's actually grown on me quite a lot. I think I might still try and give it a listen after this. So that'd be a rarity because usually I've just sort of listened to it. I've stopped actually. If I don't like the album, I just fucking won't listen to it before we do an episode because I'm like, I just don't want to. But yeah, with this one, I'd be tempted to listen to it afterwards as well. Quite enjoyed it. Are they actually back together now as well? Because I know they had like a bit of a hiatus when he went off and did like loads of heroin and then came back.
Yeah. So they're doing again. Anniversary tours. Doing fucking anniversary tours. They're actually playing Outbreak for doing Full Collapse and War All the Time, from what I understand, unless that's changed. And I would love to have gone, but I just can't. And yeah, they're doing, I think, anniversary tours. I'm not sure if they're going to write any new music. Probably the same as all bands when they go, oh, well, we've been playing together. You know, we've been jamming. We've been really enjoying it. We're going to write some new music, but I've got a feeling it just won't happen.
Yeah. I think it's one of the things where it's almost like they just get together on a night, get pissed and go, oh, let's make a band.
Yeah.
Like, and then like in the morning, they're like, oh no, wait a minute. I fucking hate you all. But we've like signed up to do some anniversary gigs and we all need the money. So we'll just fucking do that and fuck off. Which pretty much I think is what happens with Rage Against the Machine. They always get together and then fuck off. There must be some sort of rift. Right. Question one. Bear with me, there's a bit of a long setup to this one, so bear with me, but there is a question at the end, honest. So before this album, Thursday was signed to Victory Records. Apparently, when they signed, they were told by a lot of like friends saying, look, don't, you're going to find yourself in a situation that you're going to regret. And they were a bit like, oh, shit, this is a bit scary. But they're like, no, it'll be all fine. They've got a good contract that they can sign. They can look for other contracts, sign to other labels, everything like that. So they thought they were fine. However, shock, horror, it turns out that wasn't quite true. And they could only leave if they were signed to a major label. And at the time, I think they thought that's just not going to happen. Were kind of stuck. A few of the issues that they had with Victory was the lack of communication and not running things by them, and also telling them that they weren't living up to expectations, which I can imagine as a band, you just be like, oh, do you not like us? Because obviously that'll then worry you with what they're going to do to you. You know, backbench you, not promote you, all that sort of stuff if you're not playing to the expectations. And also during the tour with Saves the Day and the run-up to the release of the album, Full Collapse, Tony Brummel, who is the Victory founder, apparently was suddenly more interested in them, ringing them up, asking them if they're okay, seeing how they are and seeing how their album sales were doing at the shows and just generally paying loads more attention to them. And they were like a bit bummed out, really, because like, well, clearly you've got no interest in us as people. We're just literally a commodity to you. And I get, like, when I read that, I was a little bit like, well, they are a fucking commodity. You know, like, a whole point of a label is to make money from a band. But you're kind of hoping that labels sign bands that they like, the people they like, they want to grow them into, you know, mainstream sort of artists. But, yeah, so clearly it was all about the numbers, so there was a bit miffed. It has got a happy ending, though, because obviously Thursday did get, due to the popularity of the album Full Collapse, they got signed to a major label, which is Island Records. So the question is, what was the cost for Thursday to come out of their contract with Victory Records? Was it A, $1.2 million? Was it B, $150,000 and a handwritten note from Thursday saying that they enjoyed their time with Victory Records? Or was it C, $500,000, and Thursday had to perform at Tony Brummel's kid's 18th birthday party?
It was $1.2 million.
Correct. So they had to pay $1.2 million, and apparently the next two albums that they had to have the Victory Records logo on it as well. I did try and Google that, but I couldn't find it. Whether it was I'd do it really fucking small, tiny, but it is there. But yeah, so maybe it was in the back or in the sleeve or something somewhere. But yeah, and also I think, what's his name? Jeff Rickley was saying like they were pretty much, they were going to have to pay for that with their contract with Island. And again, I thought obviously, cause it wouldn't come for free. They've had to pay him to get him onto there. So, you know, they need to start making money for Island.
Yeah. So I think they were basically saying like, well, that's us not making money. Then we're not going to make any money on Island at all because that 1.2 million is going to be taken from their album sales. And yeah, and I guess the other thing about Victory Records is I'd listened to a podcast with Jeff Rickley and he was saying like he'd like go to band shows who were on Victory and he'd be like, hi, nice to meet you, I'm Jeff, I've just been signed to Victory Records, like my band's Thursday, and like people would like laugh at him and be like, are you joking, why have you done that? And he's like, I thought we were like gonna be like good friends, like label mates, and they're like, you've made a big mistake, like what the fuck is going on? And then the other thing was there was a band called Silverstein. And saying that, like, people never heard of them. Silverstein, the band, was signed to Victory, I think. And so were Half on Heights were signed to Victory. And they went on tour together. And, like, I think it was Tony or someone at Victory was like, or maybe it was Thursday, actually. But anyway, the guys from Victory were basically saying to Silverstein, like, you're not as good as that band. Like, you're not as good as that band. And then when they were speaking to the other band, they were going, why aren't you more like them? You need to be more like them. And they're like sort of putting bands against each other. Maybe it was like that competition, a bit of rivalry. But yeah, there was like trying to like, I guess, cause conflict between bands by saying like, oh, you're not as good. Your record sales aren't as good as them. Or like, oh, your fan base isn't as cool. Or whatever it is, like your fan base isn't as good as them or whatever. But yeah, there was like pitting each band against each other. And it just seemed like a bit weird, a bit backhanded.
Okay, question two. This is a lyrics question. This is what you see when you look in my direction. Incandescent corsets draw eyes tight like wires. Are the opening lyrics to what song? Is it A, Signal Over the Air, Signals Over the Air, B, Steps Ascending, or C, War All the Time?
I'm going to go with Signals Over the Air.
That is correct. Well done. So question three, as we often see, the Japanese version of this album has a bonus track. It was a cover of a song. Can you tell me what band or song it was? And this is multiple choice. So was it a Sigur Rós song that I cannot pronounce? And I'm not even going to try. It's got weird, crazy marks over the letters. Was it B, The Misfits, or C, a Cheeky Girls cover?
You know what? I'm split between Cheeky Girls and Sigur Rós, but I think it's Sigur Rós, isn't it?
It is Sigur Rós. A bonus question on this question 3A. So this is an additional question. Do you know why the Japanese versions often have bonus tracks? So this is something that I see all the time when I'm looking at it, but never really sort of found out why. So have you got any idea? It's not multiple choice. Do you have any idea?
Is it because they usually release later on, so it's a bit of a like oh, sorry, you had to wait, here's an extra track?
No, good guess though, but it costs apparently 30-40% more to manufacture records in Japan. So the record labels often add an extra song onto it. So it's usually like a cover or a remix or sometimes like a completely different, like a new song. And this is to entice people to buy it in Japan rather than getting an import from overseas, from like UK or America or something like that. Guessing that's to support the Japanese economy, to sort of, if it costs so much to build it, why are labels not just importing them? But I'm guessing it might be a deal with the Japanese government or something weird, you know, to boost the economy, create jobs, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is in the height of when CDs were popular, I suppose.
I guess as well, you've got that whole thing of being like, well, we've got, for a label, like we've got the European version, we've got the US version, we've got a Japanese version. Some fans are going to buy all three.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, yeah, it entices, it's a collectible as well, isn't it? For definite. But yeah, so I thought that was quite interesting, really. And we do see it a lot, especially specifically Japanese versions. I don't know if you've noticed the same as well on Wikipedia.
No, yeah. Nice, interesting.
So question four, moving on. The Thursday logo of a bird was used for the first time on this album artwork. But what is the bird? Is it a budgie, a dove, or a parrot?
It's a dove.
It is a dove. You don't say it like it's obvious. I was like...
Well, I thought it was going to go with like a seagull or, you know, like a fucking budgie or a parrot.
All right, okay, so maybe my options weren't... It's not about the question, Steve. It's not, you know, I don't want you to get it wrong. It's a nice conversation we're having. Maybe it was a bit too easy. Okay, so yeah, you're right. Do you know where the origin came from or anything?
When Doves Cry by a Prince.
No, it wasn't. He went to a magician when he was young, Jeff Rickley, and a magician pulled out a dove out of his arsehole. It was pretty weird. Oh. He only did one show and then went to prison. No, it was actually about the guitarist Tom Keeley. So on a tour bus, apparently before Full Collapse was recorded, the lyrics from, I think it's a song called Cross Out the Eyes on that album, it references a dove a couple of times.
Can rise to wake up.
So it's either, there's a sort of thing of either it's from that song, or he really, he drew the picture of a dove and that sort of caused that song or something like that. But yeah, it was around that time. And then the dove logo debuted on the cover, like we said, of the War All the Time. And then it appeared on the artwork for all the other Thursday albums up until, and all the singles as well, up until 2011, whereas apparently it's not on the sixth and final album, No Devolution. So don't know why it's gone there.
I'm surprised you pronounced it like a Frenchman.
Oh, sacré bleu!
I just called it No Devolution, but now I know it's not called that. It's No Devolution.
Devolution. I don't know. Now I feel weird. That's how you say it, isn't it? Yeah. Check me out. I mean, I'm not trying to fucking pronounce a Finnish word or whatever the fuck that is, but yeah, I can French. I can just about manage. I'm inspired by your German from last episode, Steve.
That was terrible.
Your fucking slippery nipples or whatever it was. Okay, moving on swiftly on question five. So a big part of making money for bands is merch sales. So before appearing on Warped Tour, Thursday visited Victoria's offices and learned about a certain piece of merch that was planned to be sold. But what was it? So was it A Thursday branded whoopee cushion? Was it B, a Thursday branded matching bra and panties? C, a Thursday branded Veruca sock? Or D, Thursday branded party poppers?
A Veruca sock? No, that's not my answer. But what a thing.
It might be right. Who knows?
It's a whoopee cushion, isn't it?
It is. That is correct. So apparently Jeff went into Victory and like found them and spoke to them and was like, what the fuck? Why haven't you run this past us? And they're like, look, we're a big company. We ain't got time to be running shit through, you know, our people are bands, and so they just didn't tell them. I don't know actually if they actually went ahead and sold them. I'm not 100% sure, but they were planning on it. But I was going to ask you another question, Steve. If you were in a band and they were making like whoopee cushions and stuff, what would you think? Would you be up for it, or would you be like, no?
I think it's funny. Like, I'd be like, oh, sweet, yeah. Well, if I sell, if I don't, who gives a fuck?
Well, but you, because it's coming out of your fucking money.
Is it coming out of my money? I don't think the merch comes out of a thing, does it?
I have no idea. What was there anything that you wouldn't put your name on? So like, what about dildos and condoms and stuff? Is that all right?
No, I think that's fine. I know Taking Back Sunday actually had underwear for merch when I went to go see him in like 2002 or 2003.
Or 2004. What kind of underwear was it?
Girls' underwear. I didn't buy any. No, I don't know. Like maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that would be like highly offensive as like a merch thing. Like maybe like a white hooded cloak. I probably wouldn't want like, you know, the Is It Dad Rock logo
plastered all over that. I suppose like, yeah, it depends on what you're, it depends if, as well, if you're a band that's sort of like anti-establishment, you probably wouldn't want it on train, like, I don't know, trainers or stuff that's like, the Mac of capitalism. I don't know, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, first they were kids as well, and I think with that, you do have that whole thing of being like, well, we're a hardcore band. Hardcore bands don't do shit like this.
Well, this is it. Yeah. Whereas I'd be like, give me the money, give me the Is It Dad Rock whoopee cushions. I'll fucking sell them.
Like when I was younger, I'd probably been like, no, that's stupid. We can't do that. But like now, I'm like, who gives a fuck? It's just funny. It's good fun. And I bet Thursday would now happily sell whoopee cushions at merch stands. And I'm pretty certain the fans would be happy to buy them.
Fair enough. Okay, so I've got a little sub-quiz for you, Stevie P. So off the back of the merch stuff, I'm going to ask you, we're going to play a game called Is It Real or Fake Merch?
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to this.
So I'm going to read out some examples of merchandise, and you have to tell me if it's genuinely real merch that bands have put on sale that either incredibly loyal, weird, or stupid people have bought, or is it made up? And slight caveat, so some of the stuff that I've made up, I've got a quick Google, then people might be selling this stuff, you know, randomly, but it's not like a well-known documented thing because it's not included, but I'm sure there's a, what were the band called? I want to be called, I can't remember what it was called. I think they were called like Discharge or something weird. And they used to sell like the piss and like jizz and stuff, and you could buy it off the MySpace.
That's fucking weird.
It is weird. I mean, whether anyone fucking bought it, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So it's always said to me, like, look, at your gig, we want you to piss in a flask. We're going to sell your piss. I'd be like, yeah, whatever, fine. It's fine by me. If someone wants to buy my piss, whatever.
just a random person.
No, like another person in the band or the manager. I don't think random people want to buy my piss.
You've got no fucking limit to what you will sell. Your fucking soul, tenor.
I've got no values. That's the thing.
Okay, so first one, a board game. Is that real or fake? Has a band sold a board game as merch?
It seems weird, but I imagine there's some strange bands out there that would do that. I'm going to go, yeah, that is a true one.
It is true. It's a different version of a popular board game. So Metallica made a version of Monopoly.
Oh, fucking Metallica. Monopoly. Yeah, okay. We know what their values are, yeah.
It says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. I thought exactly the same. But then I thought, well, do you know, I don't know if they've ever been like anti-capitalist or anti-establishment. Do you know what I mean? I don't really know what they're about. I know they don't like going to sleep because the Sandman comes or something. But other than that, and apparently, you know, he found out some facts that he was really upset, but, you know, he was really sad, but it is true. But other than that, I don't know anything that they stand for. So, I mean, he goes around shooting, the shooting there, and the pro-guns.
Yeah,
and stuff,
I think they're quite right-wing. Actually, I think they've changed the tune recently, but I think they've been quite right-wing up until, like, I don't know, like 2010. And then 2010 onwards, I think they're not quite the same. But yeah.
Yeah. So they made a Monopoly version of Metallica. You can buy it off the website. I don't know if it's still for sale. And the tokens that include Lady Justice, the Death Magnetic Coffin, Ride the Lightning Electric Chair, the Master of Puppets Cross. I know what they are, but then there's a Metal Up Your Ass Toilet and the Scary Guy. So I'm guessing they must be references to some albums or songs or something.
There must be.
Or, you know, James Hetfield likes to shove fucking metal pipes up your asshole or something. I'm not 100% sure, but...
I wonder what the street names are.
What do you mean the street names?
Yeah, like Oxford Street, Mayfair.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, they're probably song names, aren't they?
I thought you meant their street names of like James Hetfield's street name, like he's in a gang or something. I was like, what? I don't know. No,
his street name is Papa Het, isn't it?
Papa Het?
Yeah. That's what people call him, Papa Het.
Do they? Does his mum call him that?
He's even got it tattooed. It's even got its tattooed. There was this article on Loudwire. It was titled, "You'll Never Guess What James Hetfield Got Tattooed on His Hand," and it was Papa Het.
Right, okay, well, they get it here first, apparently. Okay, so next one, fake arms or fake legs?
I forgot what the quiz was about for a second.
So I'm just like, fake arms? Yes?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, yeah, I think that's true, at a Def Leppard concert.
Right, okay. I feel like that'd be quite harsh.
It would
but,
be harsh.
You know, would it be funny? But yeah, no, it's fake. So at least I had a quick Google. I typed in fake arm merch or fake leg merch, and it didn't come up with anything. So I assume it's not obvious. There might be some bands that do as a joke or whatever, but yeah, I couldn't find it. So next one, fake mustache, as opposed to a real mustache.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Correct, it is true. Weezer. So they sold a realistic fake mustache set on their official website for $10. And apparently the packaging read that the stick-on lip scruff is made by humans for humans, and the product will help you to blend right in, it says.
That's sort of weird, isn't it?
But I saw a picture of it, and it's got the official like Weezer logo on and everything. It's like, well, are they that kind of band? I don't know.
It must be.
Next one, cat headphones, as in headphones for a cat.
No, that can't be true. Wait, no, headphones are like earplugs.
No, little set of headphones.
Like with, like, you know, they would make noise. You could listen
like
to music.
Like these that I'm wearing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, proper headphones.
Can't be true. Right. Surely not.
It is true. So apparently Dead Mouse, I had to Google how his name's pronounced. He's like, Dead Mouse 5, but it's Dead Mouse.
I used to call him Dead Mouse 5.
Yeah, I'm sure people do. I mean, that's literally what it fucking says, but it's Dead Mouse. I googled it. And apparently he has a frequent collaborator with Joshua Davis. So he commissioned an exclusive set of highly expensive headphones. And apparently they were $1,000. Next one, hot air balloon.
What, someone's selling a hot air balloon? Not even a, like, even the wicker basket that you're sitting, standing. No, not true. Who's going to buy that?
That is, it's not true, you're correct.
Ah, I was going to say, it's so big.
It's so mad. Who the fuck's going to buy that? Some cunt buys a fucking fake mustache and a board game, so.
Yeah, but they're small. Where are you going to store a hot air balloon?
You say that, but there's some, you know, rich people are fans of bands too.
Not that I know. I don't know any rich people.
Okay, and not last one, second to last one. A fetus Christmas ornament.
Yeah. Cannibal Corpse, maybe. Infant Annihilator, maybe. Dying fetus.
No, well, yeah, it is right. It is true. I mean, it'd be so fucking weird if I thought that up, wouldn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, it would.
it's fake. I've made it up. Fetus Christmas ornament. So it's real. The flaming lips.
Wait, what? The fetus is real?
Yeah, fetus Christmas ornament is real.
It's not a real fetus, though.
No, it's an ornament. So it's called the Trembling Fetus Christmas Ornament. And the Flaming Lips made it and released it as a fucking thing off the website in 2009.
That's weird. Does it just look like a fetus?
Yeah, it looks like a little silver fetus. I don't know why it trembles. There is an advert. It's only short, so I'll put it in. But it's the mention. It's just a really weird sort of ominous kind of advert. It's creepy. I've heard of Flaming Lips, but I've never really bothered with them. But it made me more interested in the band in general because I thought that's just weird. But they did it really well. It was funny. So
I look forward to listening to it.
I will put it in now.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Wayne, and I'm here to announce the arrival of our newest Flaming Lips object. It's the silver trembling fetus hanging Christmas tree ornament. It looks and feels as though it was forged from an exotic metal that came from outer space. And it comes in this cool Cosmic Christmas Collection designer box. Is rumored, not scientifically proven, but it is rumored to give off vibrations that help all humans progress towards an intelligence explosion. It's the silver trembling fetus hanging Christmas tree ornaments. It comes in this very cool cosmic collection designer box. Plus, it has the potential to make you smarter. You know you're going to like that. Remember, be kind to animals. Try to help as many humans relieving their suffering as you can. And I'll see you somewhere out there in the world. I should say you can get that on our website, huh?
And last one, balloons filled with the band's breath.
Yeah, I think that's real. It's so easy to do. And I bet people would be like, oh my God, this has got Jeff Rickley's breath in it.
Would you breathe it in?
No. Is that what they thought? I just thought it was like, oh, that balloon, it's got Lars Ulrich's breath in it.
It's got Papa Het's farts in it. it's fake. I mean, there might be some bands that do it, but there's nothing that I found online after a quick Google. So, yeah, it is fake. But it does sound like a legit thing.
Great merch idea. Email us, send us some money. We'll put our breath in some balloons for you.
We'll do a random, could be breath, could be farts.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Sniff it and see, that's what we'll call it.
Oh, imagine if, like, you did inhale it. Ugh.
All them poo particles. That's what you breathe in, you know, when you smell a fart. It's pieces of shit. Anyway, question six. So this is the lyrics, and the song is Marches and Maneuvers. So finish the lyric. If we fly a white flag under the black and blue sky.
Do I not get multiple choice?
I didn't put multiple choice in this one. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Is it like all the time we wasted spent fighting?
No. It is Will the Red Sun Rise?
Mate, not got a clue on that one. I don't know Thursday lyrics. Like,
oh, this is why we've stopped doing lyrics questions. Right, okay, yeah. Next one is another lyrics one. I apologize. So what song are these lyrics from? So please take these hands, throw them in the river, wash away the things we never had.
That's for the workforce drowning.
Correct. Well done.
Did you not even give me a multiple choice on that one?
No, I didn't. I forgot. okay, and last question. Question 8. What song was originally going to be an instrumental interlude? Was it Tomorrow I'll Be With You, Asleep in the Chapel, or This Song Brought to You by a Falling Bomb?
It's This Song Is Brought to You by a Falling Bomb.
Correct. Well done.
That's the piano one.
The jet plane yawning miles across the sky. Hear the garbage truck back down the boulevard, setting off the car alarms as it passes by. Do you hear the static of 1,000 detuned radios? Shut the window left, keep the world outside.
Yes, so it was written by Andrew Everding, who plays keyboard on this album. He does keyboard on tracks 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, and 11. So most of them. And according to Wikipedia, he joined the band in February 2003. This album was released in February 2002. This album was released in 2003, but in the booklet, he's noted under additional musicians. So maybe he's not officially joined at that point, maybe. But then the next album, I had a quick look, and he is an official band member. So, yeah, I think he was involved a lot heavily in this album. And then obviously, it was like, do you know what? You could join our band.
Yeah. I think I read something about that, him being like, he was touring with them for like Full Collapse. And then I think after he'd recorded on this album or whatever, they were like, oh, you should just join the band.
Mm. Well, I mean, you probably think, oh, that makes sense, or whatever. But it's like financially, I bet he's like, yeah, brilliant. Because as we found out, was it Deftones where they like kicked the guy out of the band? And it's like, it's a brand, isn't it? They just get kicked and he's lost it. Whereas if you join the band, you get more of the money, you get more take, you know, rather than being a paid musician, I assume. Or do you reckon it's the other way around?
I think it's the other way around. So if you're a hired musician, like, you get money. Like, you get paid for what you do. So it's like you're contracted, you earn, say, like, you earn 25 quid an hour or whatever. But then, like, if you're in the band, you are earning money from royalties. So if a band's doing really well, then yeah, you lose out. But if a band are not doing well at all, then like, you're still getting paid. But the band, like, the actual members of the band are not getting as much money.
I'm guessing Thursday got more popular. Like, this album was the major label debut. They've released a couple more. I assume they're on the same label. I'm guessing they got more popular. Don't know.
No, I think they got less popular. I think Full Collapse and War All the Time were the biggest albums for Thursday. And then just kind of... I mean, that whole scene, that whole post-hardcore emo sort of screamo scene, like, it had its peak in, like, what, 2003 to 2006. And then from there, it kind of dwindled off. Metalcore got a lot more popular.
Yeah, oh, fair enough. Well, Andrew Everding, you fucking idiot, you shouldn't have joined band. Thursday, War All the Time from the year 2003, as chosen by Steve. It was an obvious choice for an episode. What do you say, Steve?
Yeah, definitely. And Martin, I thought it was a great episode, a great quiz, great questions. My answers are great. Everything about this episode was great. The weird merch. If you've got any ideas, listeners, send it through. What's the weirdest merch you've ever seen or bought from a show? Let us know. Is it dadrocket@gmail.com? And remember, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on all the streaming platforms. Give us a 5-star review. Bye. I don't think random people want to buy my piss.